At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
Okay, heading over now to speak to Richard Fitzwilliams in London. How are you, Richard?
Well, we're awaiting the royal baby.
Yes, you're on baby watch.
The baby watch, absolutely.
When's the due date?
Well, we only know, and remarkably little is known, because it's what Meghan, on a trip to Birkenhead, told some people, and that is how we got the fact that it was the end of April or the beginning of May, and there's only been the one statement from the palace saying that they want privacy and that there won't be the photo opportunity that there has been customarily with Charles and Diana and then subsequently with William and Kate at the Lindo Wing. We don't know if it'll be a home birth or whether it will be a private or national health hospital. No details are known other than the fact they really want to bond after it, and we know that the photo op will certainly be within, at the very outside, 2 and a bit days. Nothing else is known, and we don't know whether there'll be an easel, as customarily in the forecourt of Buckingham Palace. I'm sure that the fountains will turn blue or pink, and that there will be the gun salutes, but there's no question they're doing it their way.
What's this about them moving to Africa for a few months as well?
That was an extraordinary report on the Sunday Times, which implied it might be for a far longer period than that. In fact, nobody actually knows. What is being worked out is some form, which dates back, actually, to the time when Britain had empire and you tend to send royals as governor-generals and so forth. Of course, that is a totally different era. This would be some form of charitable work, and for long periods, or possibly long periods, they'd be out of the country. South Africa and Botswana being the preferred destinations, probably because Harry's heart is very much in Southern Africa, which he first visited after Diana's death, and we know that he and Meghan spent a pivotal 3 months, 3 weeks there, in the August before they married. There's no doubt, however, that the way this was leaked was very controversial, and of course it stoked up all sorts of rumours as to what the real relationship between the brothers and indeed the Duchesses actually is. And there's no doubt at all there's a lot of hideous trolling online, and of course she's had a lot of trouble, as you know, with her family. But the coverage in the press overwhelmingly has been tremendously favourable, and there's no doubt at all that what they're preparing is some form of not only national, not only Commonwealth, but international reach with the charities. And this is very much the case with Harry, say, and Oprah Winfrey, the documentaries that they're planning to make together on mental illness. This sort of thing.
Yeah, so he certainly is spreading his tent, that's for sure. Okay, so it's you're busy, I should imagine, at the moment, and Richard, and just on standby with CNN and Sky and everybody else.
I can't. This is the thing, you know, Dave. I can't do anything. We wait.
Yes. So maybe a curry or something like that may get the ball rolling. I don't know. We'll see what we can
do. As long as it's above ground and I can get the mobile when it goes.
Exactly.
And then it's straight to CTV.
Yes. Well, let's distract ourselves for a few minutes with some movies. And let's start off with Shazam, which is a DC...
Shazam has done fabulously well at the box office, and Shazam is very much a send-up from the Marvel Comics. It begins in the 1970s when Tadeusz Silvana is swept from a car trip to the Rock of Eternity. This is a temple in which he meets an ancient wizard, Shazam, played by Jimon Hounsou, and meets the seven deadly sins. But it's obvious that he's not someone who is pure of heart, as we discover subsequently in the movie. Then, in the present-day Philadelphia, this movie is very much a love letter to Philadelphia, Billy Batson is a kid who's put into a group home, and he has a disabled roommate, who is Freddie Freeman. A rather good performance, I thought, both from Asher Angel as the young Batson, and also Jack Dylan Grazer as Freddie Freeman. I thought both of them were excellent. The problem is, you see, that when Asher's Billy says the name Shazam, he morphs into a superhuman, and played by Zachary Levi, this is a Shazam who is, you can't shoot him, he can fly, a sort of Superman. And he is pitted against Sylvana, who has managed to get extra powers and is played by Mark Strong. And a lot of the film, I have to say, far, far, far too much of this film, is good versus evil, simply on the basis of the two of them bashing away at each other, as so frequently happens in these comic movies. But the funny part of the film, which is both colourful and amusing, is that it does send up the series. For example, you can fire at Superman, and you can try all sorts of tricks, and he is completely impenetrable. But of course, if you set a light to him, he finds it too hot, and this sort of thing. There's quite a lot of humour scattered throughout this film. This is what people have found a lot to like in it. And also, if you're around when Sylvana comes back to seek revenge on his father, and he's got the seven deadly sins with him, I wouldn't be in that boardroom. I mean, that is a very funny scene. It's the humour in this movie, the fact it doesn't take itself seriously, but that's pitted against the fact that it is long, and my goodness me, it is repetitive with constant scenes of Zachary Levi's Shazam against Mark Strong's Dr. Sylvana. They do tend to be like this, but it's very colourfully set, and there is a lot of humour in it, and I think that is one of the reasons why it's made such a lot of money.
So you could cut a few of those little scenes there, maybe, and you probably still get the majority of the film all right. It's a DC Heroes, isn't it, this one? And it's very popular. I mean, I think, is it aimed at kids as well as, would you say, is it a family film to watch?
Well, I would say it certainly was. And of course, I mean, this sort of movie, all the 20-plus Marvel's movies, they've got a particular cult following, and you know, you accept the fact that this is an immensely popular and appealing film, especially with its sense of humour. Quite a lot of it is set in a school. Will Shazam appear in the school to help Billy against the bullies and this sort of thing?
No,
I mean, it's all a lot of very harmless fun, but it's fun that's been enjoyed by a lot of people.
Ratings out of 5 then, Richard, on that, please.
Well, I'm going to give it 2. It was far, far too repetitive for me.
Okay.
So for me, it's 2 stars, but for the fans, I'm going up to 3.5 stars because they enjoyed it. It's obvious, and that must be encouraged.
Absolutely. And next one is a film we watched recently with the kids, Dumbo. And it's Disney are on this little, on a big kind of push now, remaking a lot of their old classics, aren't they?
Well, they're remaking the classics, but I have a confession for listeners, and that is, firstly, I didn't see the originals because as a child I wasn't into cartoons. It's just one of those things. So these are the real life type movies, and when you have the success that Disney have had with making this sort of film, they did Cinderella, which I loved, they did Beauty and the Beast, which is great fun, Emma Watson, then The Jungle Book, I thought it was done expertly. You got live action when you had cartoons, but in this case, the problem is that it's directed by Tim Burton, and when it comes to Tim Burton, he and I are both what, I have to say. You have a movie where I loved the circus as a child, and Dumbo's a flying elephant who is born without side ears. When they discover it can fly as well, it becomes the main attraction in a circus, and huge audiences come, and it revitalizes Danny DeVito, who's the boss, as Max Medici. He plays, he enlists a former star, Holt, played by Colin Farrell, and his two children to care for the elephant, and the evil entrepreneur Vandermeer, played by Michael Keaton, or should I say overplayed by Michael Keaton, with his trapeze artist girlfriend Colette, not that they're very close, he doesn't give her a safety net, played by Eva Green, who hates him as well. The problem with this movie, you said that you enjoyed it, but for me, a circus, I used to love it. The circus is part of show business. It ought to have a heart. It ought to have something that involves you. You feel that there really is a rather thrilling sense of what's happening, whether it's the acrobats, whether it's the flying elephants, whether it's the clowns, or whether it's no animals in this movie, by the way. Goodness me, no. However, of course, elephants excepted. But the facts, for me, it seemed part of it seemed to be almost out of Jurassic Park, I have to say. The trouble was that there wasn't a heart in it. I felt, for example, there's a scene quite early on when things go wrong, when Dumbo's flying around and the big tent catches fire. I mean, it almost seems to be something brushed over in seconds, and no one seems to take much notice of such a catastrophe. What happens at the end? Well, I can't give spoilers.
Yes.
But really, 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 we've seen something similar in so many movies, and I was so tired of Michael Keaton making faces as a rather silly villain, Danny DeVito doing his best as Max Medici, and Colin Farrell doing his best as it's like we've got one-armed Holt. But quite honestly, for me, I just found the whole thing was almost like a theme park, and it was a movie that had been set to a quite dark, you could argue, in parts, but simply overkill. I just didn't feel that it had heart, and it has had very mixed reviews from critics.
I go along with that, actually. I mean, we enjoyed it as a spectacle, you know, for the kids, and you know, they enjoyed it. And to be honest, just have them quiet for an hour and a half was well worth it for me. We watched Paddington Bear, and I've got to admit, I really enjoyed that film, and there was heart in that film, and I can see the difference.
Oh, the Paddington was fabulous. Paddington's lovable.
Yeah.
Paddington is a bear with human qualities. Whereas the moment I start thinking of Dumbo, I'm thinking of something that has been created by a skilled, no doubt, director. But I've always had a problem with Tim Burton films.
Yeah.
It's just the fact that there it is. And I do feel that you had a... Putting it mildly, at the end, it's so overblown, so to speak, that having despaired of the overacting, but also no real thrills and spills. I didn't feel what was going on was real.
And yet Tim Burton's a big fan of yours, Richard. But anyway, well, I don't know, maybe he is.
I'll believe you.
Ratings out of five then, Richard.
Well, I'm simply going with quite a large number of critics and sticking it to, simply because I got very, very impatient with it. And a movie should have a heart, I mean, with the circus, with the ultimate, the grease paint, the colour, the life, the fun that I had as a child.
Mm.
It just didn't come across here. And my goodness me, what special effects they have is pretty wooden too.
Are you holding out any hope for The Lion King? Because that's a big ask, isn't it?
I think that very definitely, if the Jungle Book can be good as live action, so can the Lion King.
Yeah, good stuff. Richard, okay, if anybody... well, that's before we get put folks in touch with you. What are we going to be looking at next week?
Oh, well, next week we've got a movie that I am going to be recommending about Carlos Acosta called Yuli, and we're going to be looking at a horror film that will horrify you called Us, Jordan Peele.
Oh, yes, the doppelgangers.
That's, oh, indeed.
Yes, I'm looking forward to that. Richard, if anyone wants to find you online, how can they do that?
It's www.richardfitzwilliams.com and on Twitter at R. Fitzwilliam.
Lovely stuff. Richard, we'll speak again next week. You take care, my friend.
Look forward
to it. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.